Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome, everybody, to Wednesday Wargames episode 28. Woo! Joining me, as always, is my very excited and celebratory co-host, Liam. Liam, stop it. You behave.
Oh no. I was going to say absconded, but that's not the word.
Yeah, it's just like...
What's the word I'm looking for?
Just shaking my finger at you. You've been scolded?
Yeah, scolded. That's what I was looking for.
There you go.
I'm being scolded.
So 2 weeks ago...
The black and white... The black and white filter has gone over you now because you've turned evil and you're being mean.
Yeah, this is the new dynamic of the podcast. I like the way you're like, you're being evil at me, and you just told me to shut up.
Yeah, but that's expected at this point, surely.
We're on episode 28, so we do need a dynamic evolution to really keep the listeners going in these tough times of watching mediocre empty arena wrestling.
Okay, let's switch it up. Do you want to be, like, the mean one, and I'll be the nice one?
I'm never mean, so I couldn't possibly do that.
You did upload a clip of you literally screaming over me for 60 seconds.
That could technically be construed as a clip of you trying to interrupt me for 45 seconds, in fact.
After you had already been ranting for, like, 2 minutes?
I enjoy ranting. This is my platform to just shout about nothing, and then people have to listen to it. So, obviously, that's what I'm going to do. What else would I do with a podcast? That's why literally everybody has a podcast.
Yeah, and that's why there's, like, triple the amount of podcasts now, because everyone's inside and bored.
Yeah, Eric Stevens is mad that everybody has a podcast. There we go.
Like, oh no.
That's one of those tweets. It's like, not everybody has to have a podcast. Shut up. Let people do what they want. You don't have to listen to their podcasts, and you have to talk about their podcasts. So go away. Let people do what they want.
Yeah, especially in these times.
Yeah, we're bored and stuck inside and slowly going insane. So just let people talk into a microphone.
I think everyone's gone insane very quickly. Like, we lasted like a solid 3 weeks before the world was like, nah.
We have to go back outside. People don't matter.
I need
matter.
A haircut.
Oh dear, my hair is quite long because I do a hair reset every like 4 to 6 months. Literally, I just let it grow and shave it all off, and let it grow and shave it all off, and that's my haircut. But I plan to get one in the middle of March, and now it's the middle of April. It's not even the middle of April. It's toward the end of April. It's very long.
Should go like a full year.
I also haven't shaved since like December, which is the longest I've gone without shaving, so I also have the largest beard I've ever had. I have fully embraced quarantine homelessness look.
I can't grow a beard.
Oh, neither can I. It looks horrible.
Like, no, like, I can't grow anything. Like, it's just like a very light stubble because most of my facial hair is blonde.
Ooh.
So you can't even see it. So it's just like I get all the negatives of having facial hair where when I shave, like, it gets everywhere. But none of the benefits, because when it's on my face, you can't see it.
Mm.
So, I'm just this degenerate who has a fairy face, but it can't be seen. It's very annoying. Like, I literally went to, like, my mum one time. I was just like, yo, feel my face. And she's like, what? Oh, shit, there is hair there. I was like, yes, someone, please believe me, there's hair. I'm not a child.
How long have you... What's the longest you've let it grow?
I can grow, like, a little, like... kind of an inch long goatee.
Mm-hmm.
and I can grow some pretty, like, Matt Jackson-esque sideburns, but everything else, there's, like, just blonde and you can't see anything.
That's
even if, like, even if I leave it for, like, 5 weeks, really, like, you won't see anything.
You really are basically a child, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I hope one day I'll grow up and I'll start growing facial hair.
You'll be a real boy.
Yes. I'll have to get on that testosterone replacement.
Mm.
And I'll get on Ryback branded testosterone replacement that he sells.
That's very on brand for him to sell.
Yeah, well, he had a T replacement because remember he had that ad where he, like, clotheslined a woman into a pool?
I don't remember that ad. I don't think I've seen this ad.
You haven't seen this ad? There was, like, this girl, and then, like just this regular girl, and then, like, he clotheslines her into the pool, and then, like, this model comes out, and it's like, this is what the Ryback stuff can do for you.
I, too, want to be like Ryback, bald and unnecessarily muscly.
I, too, want to be a beautiful model.
I wonder if his hair loss part of his testosterone replacement therapy.
Well, that is actually a thing. That's a side effect of testosterone replacement.
Well, that makes sense for him, then.
As far as I'm aware. Well, I think that was just steroids.
Well, you know, thinking about it, I can't get a haircut. Allegedly. So, realistically, if you can't get a haircut, just take Ryback's testosterone replacement therapy, and you'll lose your hair and get jacked.
I've never shaved my head.
Mm.
But I was told that I would have a good shaved head.
I shave my head. As I said, I shave my head like twice a year. So it goes to with a number two razor. So that's how short my hair gets until I let it grow to not quite shoulder length. It's usually like neck length. I never let it go further than that because then it starts annoying me. And then I get a cut. There's my hair.
I've had it to shoulder, but not like, it still kind of looks like medium length hair. It never looked long.
You've never reached like the thing from the Addams Family levels.
Well, it kind of did look like that because, like, I didn't cut it into style. I just let it grow out. Mm. And then, like, I just started tying it into a ponytail because, like, that was easier than anything else. But, like, my general haircut is either, like, mid-length kind of slicked back, but not like, actual slicked back, just, like, naturally going back kind of deal. Like, the dude from Hangover and Sniper, American Sniper.
Who?
You know what I'm talking about. The dude from American... Bradley something?
Bradley Cooper?
He has, like, a slicked back kind of, like, hair deal, but, like just naturally his hair goes back. I kind of have that thing going on. Or my normal hair, which is just I shave the sides and back.
Hmm.
And, like sometimes if I'm feeling real frisky, I'll go down to, like, zero. Like, straight up zero, blended up into, like, a two. No one cares about this.
No.
Why are we talking about this? No one gives a shit.
Well, about 20 minutes ago, I was going to say, 2 weeks ago, the Revival news broke while we were on the podcast. Last week, the Fink news broke while we were about to record the podcast. What's going to break this week?
TW20's beta is going to get released.
Oh, there we go. Were you very excited?
See, I didn't think I was gonna, like, I thought I was like, yeah, whatever, but then, like, I couldn't sleep last night. Like, just straight up, like, child before a game comes out. Like, I was like, ooh, TW.
This is your real Christmas.
Kinda. Well, like, TW 2016 was my game of the year that year.
Ooh.
It was the game I played the most. I couldn't consciously, like, if whatever game was number two, I probably played, like, 50 hours, whatever. Like, I definitely put over 100 hours into TW 2016 the first year it came out.
I heard you make promises on stream about us playing TEW games on... So we're going to do the Wednesday War Games, but we'll take a side each?
Yeah, it's Wednesday War Games.
I see what you did there. That's obviously why we named the podcast that, to have the long-term branding implications.
Yeah, I'll probably make a Twitch for it or something, because, I don't know, I have nothing better to do. But yeah, well, that's the easy one is to do the actual Wednesday War Games, but that's also, like, a lot of commitment, and we're, like, fickle. So, well, so I was thinking, like, we'll do, like, a one-off stream when it comes out, and be like, hey, let's go look at stuff, blah, 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 and then, as I have to learn the game first, because I'm the one who does all the work for it, so, like, you're gonna have to give me, like, you have to give me a couple weeks to, like, actually learn the mechanics before we go into, like, the Wednesday War Games.
Mm-hmm. Do we have to say it like that every time?
I mean, I'm gonna, like, make the account, like, Wednesday War in, like, lowercase, and then just games all in capital.
Of course.
So, yes is the answer to that.
We should probably talk about these wrestling shows.
Do we have to, man? Like, they were all right.
We're 9 minutes in.
Yeah, this is what people come for, man. They don't care about my actual wrestling takes. Listen,
people are very concerned about what you think of WWE NXT.
All right, well, let's tell them right now.
Every week we talk about WWE and NXT. Last week NXT was the winner, so we shall cover NXT first, which opened with the news that Finn Balor has been attacked or whatever, and he's not here anymore. He's missing, I think, was the thing they went with.
Full Sail, the Performance Center now is the most dangerous place in Florida.
It's people are being kidnapped. Literally, everyone's always attacked here. Like, they should get... And there's never security. It's like... It's actually very concerning that, like, El Hijo del Fantasma is nearly kidnapped later in the show. Like, he goes out to the parking lot, and there's no security there.
I have my theories about that kidnapping.
Ah, you think it's a red herring.
I think it's... Well, we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
But yeah, get security, you crazy people. Why are these people going out of the parking lot where people have been kidnapped, never to be seen again in recent weeks, and you don't have security there to, like, guard them? Come on, Triple H. Come on, William Regal.
The only, like, security that they have is, like, being exclusively given to Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano for when they try to fight each other. Mm-hmm. That's all they have available.
I guess it
they have that defense force.
I guess it's probably hard. It's our security essential personnel. At the moment, I would have thought so, but
nope.
The definition of essential personnel in WWE lately is pretty loose. I was looking on Twitter today.
Well, I'm surprised.
And I saw on the WWE NXT Twitter that Finn Balor's nickname currently is the Prince, but it's.
Yes.
Spelled P-R-I-N-X-E as opposed to C-E. Yes.
Prinks.
And that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. What is he, a Kingdom Hearts character?
Well, you see, he has a big X on his gear now.
Uh-huh.
And he's the Prinks, so...
I hate it. How have I not noticed this? Because I clicked the hashtag and he tweeted that back in like December when he did the heel turn. And I was like, oh... I guess I just never paid enough attention?
Prinks.
Yes, Finn Balor is taken out. Velveteen Dream opened the show before he talked for 90 seconds. What was he talking about? Nobody could possibly know, because he was talking to be interrupted by the returning Adam Cole on the show for the first time in, God, the best part of a month at this stage.
He's been released from quarantine.
He is free to lose on NXT again. Cole came out, Undisputed Era beat him up. Keith Lee made the save. Again, it's not even satire at this stage. That literally every single promo on the show is just waiting to be interrupted. It's insane.
I mean, yeah. It's a main roster brand.
It really is. Yeah, so then the main event was set of Strong and Cole against Dream and Keith Lee. I'm sure you were very excited for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we did never find out what happened to Finn Balor. He's just gone.
He's dead. He was murdered.
Walter killed him. From afar.
Yes. Finally, they deliver on that chant.
Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez defeated Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox. It was nice that Raquel won.
You know what?
What?
I think Raquel Gonzalez and Tegan Nox have good chemistry together.
Yeah, it's a good monster, good and plucky babyface. Can't really go wrong.
Yeah, I really like their dynamic whenever they wrestle. I actually like this match a lot.
I had literally no thoughts about this match. Like, literally none.
I just thought it was pretty good. I liked the finish with Gonzalez getting the win, as she should. I think she's pretty good.
And she should have gotten the win last week as well, so that when someone beats her, it's meaningful.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like her.
Alas, yes. Yeah, I like Raquel. I'm now over Dakota Kai. They've ruined her, but that's neither here nor there.
There was, like, a weird, like, moment at the start where Kai tagged herself in. And I was like, are they going to split this team already? I was like, please don't.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. It would be very WWE to be like, all right, now Raquel's going on her own. Dakota Kai, get back to the back of the line.
We're ending the Diesel HBK team.
God, there was a quote this week that Shawn Michaels helped them make their entrance more like Diesel and HBK. And, like, how about you make them more like themselves rather than somebody else?
Just let them find. Let's let them develop.
Instead of trying to make them somebody else. God damn it. Can't have anything be new. But
I enjoyed this tag.
You know what I didn't enjoy, Liam? we get a video package of Drake Maverick. And we sure do get them. God.
If this is a work, it's so distasteful, man.
Literally, any angle you come at this from, it's bad. Because on the surface, it's they fired him, and then they brought him back, and they turned firing him into a story, which is the grossest thing you can possibly think of. And, like, people will go, oh, but Spud agreed to do it. And, like, Spud would literally do anything for you. That's why he's such a versatile, fantastic performer. He would jump through fire for you. And that's why, don't fire him. he's amazing. Just like
when actual people lost their actual jobs to also do a fired guy gets redemption story, it just comes off really distastefully. Especially when you play it off as being real, if it indeed wasn't at the start. That makes it even worse to me. It just leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. Even though I like Spud, it's just like, because it puts more focus on like the actual people who lost their actual jobs during this actual pandemic.
Yeah. So like, as I said, any angle you come at this from, if it's not a story that they always plan to tell, it's as sleazy as heck. If it is a story they always plan to tell, it's sleazy as heck. If they actually fired him and then made him fight for his job and give him his job back, that's also sleazy as hell. That's like the most emotionally manipulative thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, there's no angle you come at this from in which it is not one of the sleaziest, grossest things I've seen in a very long time. And later in the show, Spud does a promo where it's like, well, maybe everybody was right. So you have the guy that was fired cutting a promo saying that maybe I was right to be fired. Fuck off!
He's definitely back, though.
I don't know. I don't put any faith in WWE because I could see him just losing all three of these tournament matches and disappearing until the end of time.
I think he loses two, wins the final one, and then Triple H comes in and says, oh, I'll give you a contract.
That's and that might be I hate it.
And that might be, like, a legitimate thing, too. Not even a storyline thing. Like, the Cedric thing where he comes out and signs him.
Oh, if that happens. As I said, come at this from any angle. And it's just, no, don't do this to human beings. It's distasteful to the people who was fired. It's emotionally manipulative for poor Spud, who will, as I said, run through fire for you. But don't make him do it. And, God, I really did not like this on any level.
A part of me was like, ugh, when like they did this highlight video and then they came back from ad break and they're like, and remember the celebration of Triple H on Friday for SmackDown as Drake Maverick was making his entrance.
It's very grim.
Anyway, to the match.
Also, like, the fact that commentary was like, and Drake Maverick has to put aside the circumstances in which he's competing in this match, as if they weren't the ones that fired him. Like,
it's that kind of commentary and the post-match angle that makes me really think that it is just a storyline and he is back.
That's the worst.
Because why else would they emphasize that?
Because what else are you going to do with him at the moment?
Well, I think if he was still gone, like, for reals, I think they wouldn't acknowledge it. But he's been on the bump, and they're talking about it constantly throughout the match. I think it's a story.
I hate everything.
Jake Atlas is cool, though.
It was a good match. Good little TV sprint. Nothing special, but an enjoyable little match.
And they didn't call his DDT the LGBDDT.
Because they're a bunch of cowards.
Yeah, seems a little bit cowardly. But, yeah, let's see how Jake Atlas does.
It also makes it all the stranger, by the way, that Jay squashed Jake Atlas like 2 weeks ago. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, that doesn't matter. We've already discussed how these TV squashes don't mean anything.
Just debut people so that they matter. Why squash somebody and then start pushing them? That's just one of those things. It's like, what are you doing?
Why are we arguing it at this point? We know how this show works.
We got a video package on Damian Priest. He was like, Keith Lee, blah de blah. Damian Priest is one of those wrestlers. He's in the Kip Sabian tier of wrestlers. My brain is just like, da 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 da. Just go. My brain just drifts.
Yeah, Priest doesn't do a whole lot for me, but he can bust out a pretty good match if he's in there with the right guy. Like, I did like the Pete Dunne stuff.
Yeah, he's a good wrestler. It's just he's better than Kip Sabian. I'll give him that. But my brain does just like.
I did like. I liked the line where he's like, oh, "This is all your fault. You're picking all your opponents just because you know you'll win." But the triple threat, that was all right. And I was like, "All right, that's kind of a cool line." But that's it.
Kushida defeated Tony Nese in the Best of the Super. No, wait. Sorry, interim NXT Cruiserweight Championship tournament.
Best of the Super Cruisers.
But yeah, best of the Super Cruisers indeed. Good little match. I thought this was, like, it wasn't as good as nearly any of the matches last week, but I thought this was a nice, tidy little wrestling match.
Yeah, I liked the match. I do think it's incredibly funny that he left Japan because he was never not going to be a junior, and now he's fighting for the Cruiserweight title.
In a knockoff Best of the Super Juniors as well. And, like,
I think that's a very meh like thing to, like, because it's a round robin tournament, you know. They've happened before, they'll happen again.
But it's funny that they've only ever done round robin tournaments. They've never done them. It's a thing they don't do, and they do it with the juniors with Kushida. It's funny.
Yeah. And I like that Kushida, like, he basically cut, like, the same kind of promos he would cut for the junior title.
Yeah.
About the Cruiserweight title, where he's like, I want to win it and make it not a laughing stock. And it's like, that's exactly the kind of stuff he used to say about the junior title.
Poor guy. And he succeeded with the junior title in his defense.
Mm. Maybe he'll do it with the Cruiser.
No, he won't.
But they said he was the favorite, so he's not going to win.
Why do they call the hoverboard lock the Sakuraba lock now?
Because Mauro Ranallo.
The hoverboard lock is a cooler name.
Well, you gotta respect Sakuraba.
I guess
you... UFC Hall of Famer.
Probably do.
Member of Segura Gun.
Yeah, they had a nice little story where Kushida worked over his arm, and then Tony Nese eventually got caught in a really nice-looking top rope hoverboard lock, and yeah.
Tony Nese has really excelled in WWE more than I thought he would.
Would you say excelled? I would have said survived better than I thought he would.
No, I'd say excelled because he's actually had achievements. And, like, I kind of thought he would just be a name on the brand, but he won the Cruiserweight title at WrestleMania. Like,
yeah.
He's done pretty well for himself.
But he won the Cruiserweight title in the year of 205 Live, in which the brand was literally dead.
I liked that match. He had some pretty good bangers. Yeah. I like Tony Nese. All right? And you can't stop me from liking Tony Nese, Garrett.
I can't. But I can insist that he's very boring.
Isn't it weird to see Timothy Thatcher cut, like, WWE promos?
I came to the realization during this promo that I've never heard Timothy Thatcher speak. I was really? Like, oh, that's what Timothy Thatcher sounds like. It's one of those things where it's like, I didn't realize I'd never heard Timothy Thatcher cut a promo, but then I'm like, oh, I've never heard that man open his mouth.
Yeah, that's Big Tim.
There you go, yeah.
Tea time.
Him and Matt Riddle doing the straight guy. Tim Thatcher is a much straighter straight guy than Pete Dunne as well.
It's going to be like, I hope they like continue as a trio, and it's like the straight guy and the straighter guy.
Yeah, and then Matt Riddle just like, bro!
I did like the eyes bit. That was pretty funny.
Matt's a good comic. I'm slightly worried about how much like Matt Riddle is showing how he can be funny, and like... You know what's going to happen to that.
Oh, he's going to be on the main roster smoking the Maribakis, and there's going to be smoke in the air, and he's going to be like, hey, 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 and that's going to be his main roster gimmick.
Mm.
And then, like, he'll start putting on, like, really good, like, mid-card level matches, and then he'll get, like, a Cesaro push.
Which is barely even a push. But alas. Killer Cross video, Scarlett narrated it. He's coming. TikTok.
Tick, tick, tick. TikTok, I hear the clown chicken.
That's all you have to say about Killer Cross?
Yeah.
Or sorry, Karrion Kross.
Stop living. TikTok, I want you to remember me. TikTok, but they didn't have no memory. I'm coming.
We head to the Gargano's house, in which Mommy eats first.
I kind of liked this. It was weird. Mommy eats first.
I do want to point out, they're aware. They can both eat at the same time, right?
I don't get the whole daddy eats first, mummy eats first thing. Like, why can't you just both eat?
Yeah, like, Johnny's dinner will go cold. Let him eat his food. Stop.
See, I can acknowledge this one, right? Like, because, like, Gargano was, like, giving in that he said, you get to go first. But, like, why? Is that a real thing that people do? Where, like, one person in the family gets to eat first and then everyone else gets to eat?
I hope not. That seems in a very impractical way to eat food.
And also, like, I just don't think it's very cool that NXT would be parodying an AEW gimmick like this.
How dare they?
It's punching down. And I don't like
it. It's very meta that, like, basically they're parodying a parody, so she's basically being a parody of Vince McMahon.
A parody of a parody of Vince.
It's very strange, but yes.
Do you like how she's, a heel now, so she has, like, cool hair dye in?
She's mean, so she can't be blonde anymore.
The Tumblr girls and boys. Like, they're a Tumblr couple. Gargano X Leray.
Or Mrs. Candace Wrestling. I like that line. That was a good line.
They're like, I've never seen Candace as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, but I've always preferred Johnny as a heel. So it's weird that they're going to do two like bad guy power couples though at the same time, like, with Cross and Scarlett, and then also them.
They're very different acts. One's nerds, the other is like doomsday people. So I guess like you can, but maybe they're going to team or they're going to feud. Who knows?
But like, it's just weird that they're going to do two bad guy power couples at the same time, though.
Mm.
Maybe Scarlett will be more of just a pure manager, and Candace and Gargano will do the actual both in ring thing.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm with you. This was good fun.
Yeah, I like that both shows. AEW's been doing it for a while, but both shows are doing like these a lot more out of ring segments because they realize that the in ring stuff is the weakest part of the show with no crowd.
Though I will say that they had a camera, and I assume this was actually the house of the Garganos. That's not very good social distancing practice.
He was 6 foot away. What if they lived in the same house? What if it was their roommate?
Well, then that's acceptable. Though highly unlikely.
Well, no, he was roommates with Tommaso Ciampa and his wife when they first moved to Florida. You don't know what the living situation is.
That's fair. Before we continue, we are brought to you this week by ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/VOW. ZipRecruiter sends your jobs to over 100 of the web's leading job sites. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/VOW. That's ZipRecruiter.com/VOW. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I wish TW20 had ZipRecruiter so I could find the best wrestlers for my company.
We got a video package for Io Shirai.
Killing this plug game.
Yeah. Io Shirai is facing Charlotte. Sure, there we go. That's about it. We got that horrible Drake Maverick backstage interview that I hate, and I hate everything about it. Mia Yim defeated Jessie Camilla in, I don't know, it was a weird squash in that it didn't feel very impactful, and then she just kind of won.
I thought Mia and Charlotte was this week.
Well, they teased it last week, but they didn't officially announce it. It's officially announced for next week, so there you go.
Hell yeah, Mia.
The Protect Your Neck, where it's kind of like her variant on Eat Defeat, which I never particularly liked as a finish anyway, but somehow she found something that's less impactful than Eat Defeat, where she just drags you down on her knee and it doesn't look remotely like a finish.
How about, I guess you don't respect the Wu-Tang Clan.
No? I don't know.
That's where Protect Your Neck comes from.
Well, there you go. Don't you learn something new every
day? It's a Wu-Tang Clan song.
Do they do the move as they sing the song?
I mean, I believe that the RZA, the Jizza, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspector Deck, Raekwon, the Chef, Ghostface Killer, and the Method Man would all do the move.
You're such a nerd.
Yeah, I probably forgot names while I was in there, though. Definitely forgot producers. It's like 10,000 Wu-Tang producers.
Well, we don't want to be here all day, do we?
Or do we?
Charlotte came out after the match, reminded Mia that she wants the wrestler. She was very disingenuous. She threw out the Cody Good Hand line before saying that when Charlotte first wrestled Mia helped make Charlotte a star, and now Charlotte's going to return the favor, which, again, great line. I like Charlotte. She's obnoxious. She's like, she's such a natural heel that you'd wonder why is she ever a babyface.
Yeah, if she's not ever a babyface to me, like, she's just the perfect heel. Even when she's trying to be a face, I'm like, boo.
Robert Stone and Chelsea Green were poolside as Chelsea was in a photo shoot and Robert Stone was directing the photo shoot.
I didn't even see this. I must have looked away. I do not respect the objectification of women at the Robert Stone brand.
Yes, there you go. So you're very anti-Robbie E. You're not on the list, bro.
Yeah. I watched a Robbie E match the other week.
Oh, him against Kazarian?
Mmm.
Did you enjoy it?
Mmm.
I don't know. I think Robbie E's underrated. Like, he's never a guy that will give you, like, the best matches in the world. But as a guy, like, as a lower mid-carder who bumps real well, and you can put him in those kind of feuds and has some personality, he's as Charlotte would say, a good hand.
I thought he had a good promo to open the show, even though it was, like, 8 minutes long.
That was still pre-Robbie T as well, wasn't it?
That was way before that. Was him in Cookie.
Oh, was Cookie still there then? God, I forgot how long Cookie was still around. That's only like 3 months after he debuted, though, I suppose.
I like Cookie because I like Becky Bayless.
Mm. You're not on the list, bro.
I'm never on the list, bro.
El Hijo del Fantasma defeated Jack Gallagher in a... I don't know.
Gallagher had a cool little promo.
Yeah, Gallagher's weird in that, like, he's transitioning to something different and new. But he's still called Gentleman Jack Gallagher, and he still kind of has, like, the gear of a Gentleman Jack Gallagher. But
I like that this is the second time he's doing this exact same gimmick change.
Yeah, he seems stuck halfway there, though, doesn't he? It's like, go all the way to something new. Stop being, like, in a weird middle point between something new and something that you are...
Be a cool shooter, man, and just... Start fucking people up.
Yeah, start fighting people.
I like Jack Gallagher. I always forget that he exists, though.
Yeah, and you forget that he's actually a very good pro wrestler.
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed his progress stint a lot.
When he's like, I've been on this show for 4 years, and I've never won the belt, and I've never gone anywhere. It's like, oh, that's quite sad.
And I was like, ooh, 205's been around for 4 years. Is my reaction to that.
I know. It's four in, like, September-ish. Actually, no, when was 205 launched? Yeah, it was, like, September, October, wasn't it?
205 launch.
Because, yeah, the Cruiserweight Classic was that summer, then they had TJP on Raw for one, the Cruiserweights on Raw, and then 205 Live was, like, that October, wasn't it?
Remember the finals of that was Metalik and TJP?
Yeah, and that match was great. Remember how good TJP was that? Remember how good that tournament was?
That tournament ruled, because it was just wrestling and promo packages.
Yeah, it was just, like, TJP and Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. and Metalik having also, great matches.
Ciampa and Gargano having a banger, like... Special singles match.
Mm, and you hear Rich Swann in there, who's, like, the best wrestler in the world.
And back when we were, like, genuinely happy when people would get signed, because we weren't jaded.
Yeah, 2016 was, like, I think that was probably the last year in which it was like, oh, that's nice that that person got signed. And then it's just like, stop signing people I like, so you can hold them in your warehouse in Florida, and I can never see them have good wrestling matches again.
Mm. What do we have? El Hijo del Fantasma wins.
Yes, Fantasma wins. He did his one good move. He did his dive, which they didn't even particularly call particularly well, but alas, there you go.
And then we get the next week's, or do you want to go into the innocent?
Faces Charlotte next week. Damian Priest faces Keith Lee for the North American title there next week. Then El Hijo del Fantasma was being interviewed backstage, and he was like, oh, I don't know, he was cutting a promo. It was in Spanish anyway, so I wouldn't understand it regardless. Before he was being kidnapped, and then he fought them off. And you believe this is some kind of swerve.
Yes, this is legit. This is the old, I'm going to fake my kidnapping to prove that I'm innocent, because he's the only one who got away. He's the only one who managed to fight them off. He's definitely the ringleader here. And this was just a way of making him look innocent because everyone suspected him of being the ringleader.
It's very funny that, like, the other two didn't even put up a fight. They were just dragged into the car. And, like, he's like, get away from me.
Yeah, because he's their boss.
So do you think they're going to do Phantasma or Unmasked Phantasma as the boss?
I think they're going to do split personality. He's unmasked when he's the boss, and then he's like babyface with the mask on.
That would actually be a more interesting character than you'd usually get from NXT.
Yeah, so just you wait. But he's don't believe him. Not innocent. Gavel.
Poor Phantasma. He's just there. He avoided being kidnapped, and that can't even prove his innocence to you. The poor guy.
I said gavel.
It is the end of the story then.
Mm-hmm.
Dwingo Stewart main event, Velveteen Dream and Keith Lee versus Adam Cole and Roderick Strong. Damian Priest attacked Keith Lee at ringside with a nightstick. He hit him in the throat twice. I really enjoyed, if you listen very closely, you can hear Damian Priest cackle as he walks away. It's very enjoyable.
He's just like, he's just a bad guy.
He's so pleased with himself. Dream faces Cole and Strong for a while by himself before everyone's predicted partner shows up. Dexter Lumis arrives.
Dexter Lumis is getting this main event NXT push.
Listen, this is what happens in a pandemic. You have Kip Sabian main event in Dynamite. You have Dexter Lumis main eventing NXT. There is no logic or reason in the world anymore, Liam.
Weirdly, I'm not even that opposed to it because it's something weird and different and not expected from NXT, but I'm just like, Dexter Lumis, getting a gosh dang, for real NXT main event push.
Yeah, and he's showed up there, stood in the apron. They did the old gimmick that I always hate, where it's just like, all right, you're in the match now. I never liked that, but still.
I like that the commentary were kind of confused about it, and they're just like, well, I guess if the ref says it's all right, the ref says it's all right.
Yeah, and then Lumis ran
but
wild.
But like, at least they put over out. Some way. Is he actually... Yeah. You know what it means? That we're going to get a Dexter-Lumis-Roderick Strong match, and that's going to be very weird.
So, like, is his problem with the Undisputed Era? Is he trying to be friends with Dream? I guess Dream wasn't there last week, so Undisputed Era is the common denominator.
I think it's him and Roddy. I don't even think it's, like, Cole. I think it's just him and Roddy.
Well, there you go. That's your big feud. Roderick Strong and Dexter Lumis.
Yeah.
This was a main event tangle on NXT.
It's just very weird. Like, again, I'm not necessarily opposed to it because, hey, let's do some weird shit instead of just sticking to the formula. But, like, all right.
Also, if you like,
I'm willing to give it a go.
If you give me the choice of push Velveteen Dream or push Dexter Lumis, I'll probably take Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Why not?
So, yeah, that's our NXT, which I think not nearly as good as last week, but a pretty good show.
I liked NXT, though. Yeah, like, it flew by.
It has become an easier show to watch, that is true.
I think it helps when you have the Best of the Super Cruises going on.
That's true. I forgot to mention, Byron Saxton couldn't pronounce Jack Gallagher. It was very funny. He tried twice as well. He's like, Jack Gallagher, Jack Gallagher.
Jack Gallagher.
So yes, WNXT, that takes us to... Oh no, you have an ad.
Oh, I have an ad. I definitely wasn't just refreshing Grey Dog software to see if TW20 had been released.
We have sadly not been sponsored by TW20 yet.
That being said, Adam Ryland, get in contact. We are, of course, being sponsored by Roman. Get Roman? Roman.
Roman Reigns?
Yeah. You know what, Garrett? I have to wait a long time for TW20 to be released.
It's been 4 whole years.
Yes. But you know what would make that even worse?
What?
If my life or my sexual performance were waning in the meantime.
Mm.
Because you see, Americans, they have to wait way longer than I had to wait for TW20. They have to wait 29 days to see a doctor in major US cities if you're dealing with a condition like erectile dysfunction. And you want that treatment ASAP. Especially when you're inside, trapped in there with your significant other. Don't be like Corey Graves and tell them that you don't want to fuck them. Have you seen that video?
No.
Carmella and Corey Graves were doing a live, and Corey Graves, like, right next to Carmella's face was like, I don't want to fuck you.
God damn it, Corey Graves.
And she's like, what? And he's like backpedaling. Don't be like Corey Graves. Get your treatment ASAP. That's why our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of home. Roman makes it convenient to get the treatment you need on your schedule. Just grab your phone or computer or tablet, complete a free online visit, and you'll hear back from a US licensed physician within 24 hours. And if a doctor decides that treatment is right for you, Roman's Pharmacy can ship your medication to you with free 2-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. With Roman, there are no commitments and you can cancel anytime. So if you're struggling with ED, don't be like Corey Graves. Go to GetRoman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping.
Which brings us to All Elite Wrestling Dynamite, which opened with Cody Rhodes in a... Cody loves his little self-indulgent videos, doesn't he?
This one was extra weird.
Yeah, it's like, all right, why not focus on your brother there, buddy?
But also, like, the obvious, like, effects were just so over the top.
Mm. It's like, you're not even on wasn't the bad. Show. Why is he doing a big opening package? He's got nothing.
Probably because he
do.
Wasn't on the show.
Yeah, I usually like these, but yeah, this they're always self-indulgent, but they're usually very good. This one was just more leaned on the self-indulgent side than the very good side.
I wouldn't mind, like, someone else breaking down the tournament.
Mm.
Like, I get, like, Cody's in it, but, like, can we get Jake Roberts talking about every participant in the tournament? That'd be pretty neat.
Or Chris Jericho just mocking everybody.
Except Sammy.
Except Sammy, of course.
I'm just saying, like, it was just a very weird visually... For me, this promo package. Yes. It kind of threw me. It was a little, maybe it was a little too gimmicky.
Mm. As I said, they're all self-indulgent, but this one...
The context of the promo I liked, though.
Yes, which brought us to the opener of AEW Dynamite. Sammy Guevara lost to Darby Allin in the quarterfinal match in the TNT Championship Tournament. Really good match. They did some wild crap and threw themselves at it. Sammy did a dive where he missed... And he just went headfirst into like a barricade, and I'm like, or Darby even did that dive. I was like, dear God, man, what? Like, oh.
I say it every time these two wrestle, but like one day they're gonna be main eventing Double or Nothing or All Out or Revolution or Full Gear, and they're gonna be wrestling for a title, and it's gonna be very neat to go back and be able to see the matches like this.
And this Darby took Sammy's boot off, so if you have some foot fetishes, there you go.
I loved. Like that aspect of this match because it really made this match stand out and like differentiate it from the other matches. Like Darby doing like random footwork throughout the match with Sammy Guevara. I was all in on that.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, just do something different from like you expect these two to do wild shit and they did wild shit. But yeah, add a different wrinkle in there, add a bit of weirdness in there, and it's make it different. And the closing stretch of this was particularly great as well.
And it was just, it added a whole new dynamic.
And the Last Supper, I really liked that as a finish, because I think we mentioned this last time he did it, where it looks like legitimately, it's one of those pins where it's like, yeah, he's got him trapped real, and at like two, he put his foot over to add that extra layer of like pressure. It's like, that's good wrestling.
Mm. Yeah, it's good stuff. Darby's real good.
Darby is really
even
good.
Jericho admits how like Darby is like the best young guy. At one point, I was like, he was like going on about like, yeah, no, Darby's definitely like has gotten the most over out of anyone on the roster, and I was like, yeah, Sammy's in the match, man. He's your child.
Listen, Jericho's being objective on commentary. He's a broadcast journalist now, Liam.
Until we get to Allen, Angels, Ingles, Candles.
Don't worry about it. I really want, like, looking at the brackets, you're like, oh, obviously the final's Cody against Archer, but Darby should beat Cody and Archer. Darby Archer should be the final.
What if the final is Cody versus Dustin 2?
I wouldn't do that in front of nobody. That's the problem.
Are they going to do this in front of nobody?
Are they going to hold the finals for another 2 months or whatever?
I don't know. They said the finals are at Double or Nothing. But...
Oh, so which is already confirmed Empty Arena, so...
Ugh.
Whatever that final is.
Might have ruined Double or Nothing.
I wouldn't have done a pay-per-view in this environment. It's just like, that's not what people want at the moment, you know? And you're going to have to blow off good matches there because it's a pay-per-view. You're going to be charging $50 for it, you know? You can't just phone it in. Like, you can coast by having Kenny Omega have a long match with a nerd on television, but you can't do that on pay-per-view. You have to give them something if you're going to charge them $50 for it. Like, the match I think would thrive most in an empty arena environment is Darby and Archer. Because that's, like, you know, the dynamic there is fine. It'll work.
The weird thing is, too, is, like, they have all these acts and all these feuds that they had already started kicking off that they can no longer pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Death Triangle hasn't been on TV for over a month.
Yeah. It's weird that they haven't, like, at least, you know, got Pac to film a pre-tape or two, you know, just to keep him on the show.
We got our first MJF one this week.
Like, yeah, at the very least, you can keep them present on the show, even if they're not, you know, wrestling.
Maybe it's because they won't be able to get a promo with all three of them together.
But you can, like, and they don't want to do, like, one of those
just Pac.
Pac standing naked on steps promos. He loves those.
And he just holds, like, one of their masks in each hand and he's talking to himself.
Yeah, that would actually be a good idea. There you go.
There you go. I'm booking the show.
Matt Hardy is in his compound. There was a pivot here where Matt went from broken Matt to regular Matt.
It kind of ruled.
But like the regular Matt Hardy stuff was so much better than the broken Matt
Hardy
stuff.
It's so much more compelling. I love Matt, and like, I don't mind. I hope they kind of like switch, because right now it's going to be like 75% broken, 25% Matt. Mm. I really like if they switched it and it's like 75% yes. Matt, and like broken Matt comes out when necessary. Like, broken Matt's his demon.
I just, like, I'm not sure about, like, full broken Matt promos, full of his broken Matt cat, especially with, like, again, it works in front of an audience where you can throw out the catchphrase. There's a call and response there where you can throw out the catchphrase and get a response. But these promos where he's shouting his catchphrase, he was very loud. I wasn't looking at the screen at the time, so when he pivoted to Matt, I was like, oh, that sounds much better. Oh, there you go. He's not shouting anymore.
But I'm very excited if this is the kind of dynamic they're going to go with. Kind of half broken, half Matt will not die.
And the Elite Deletion is, again, if you're going to do matches on pay-per-view, that match is probably fine to pre-record in the Matt Hardy compound and put on pay-per-view.
I like how it's not going to be Chris, because Chris probably can't make it there, so they're just like, yeah, send Sammy.
Yeah, Chris, I like the way he's like, Chris just completely ignored the challenge.
So, but, like, the problem with, like, Sammy doing the match is you can't do any of the cool, like, throwback memes with him, because he's like, well, you're going to throw him into the thing, and he just comes out as a panda? Like, he's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's half the fun is, like, we're going to get, like, Lionheart Chris Jericho and shit, but maybe they'll do a, maybe he'll abduct Sammy and Jericho will have to come save him.
Or Sammy will come out as Lionheart Chris Jericho.
There you go, that's a whole new level.
It's just, they'll do the match as if Sammy is Jericho.
And then Jericho was like, Matt Hardy, you're a bitch.
Jericho's not a fan of broken Matt Hardy. He acknowledged him this week, though, so that's a win for Matt, I guess.
I like that, I like Matt's little thing about how he doesn't want AEW to be about him or to be about Chris, and he's just doing it because he doesn't think Chris will put anyone over.
Just you wait until Matt Hardy wins the AEW World Championship, and then the hypocrisy will come out.
But that'd be the gimmick, though. Then you'll be like Big Money Matt.
There you go. The many faces of Matt Hardy.
Mm.
Kenny Omega defeated Alan Engels, Gongles, Angels. My favorite part of this was Chris Jericho actively halfway through the match. It's like, Tony, what's actually his name? I don't know. And Tony's like, it's Alan Angels. And then Jericho still continued to mispronounce his name for the rest of the match.
He just refused to believe that it was Angels.
Oh,
it says Ingles. It's like, no, it doesn't. I weirdly thought that Kenny gave Alan Angels too much in this match.
Oh, he gave him way too much. I was like, oh, are you going full? I was like, Kenny, give the nerd the full 20, because it was 20 minute time limit, and he gave him 7-ish, which is like, all right, but still,
he gave him 7-ish, but like 60-40 split.
Yeah, it's like, well, Kenny, you tried to make the guy's career. Well done.
But and also, like, to me, Alan Angels is like the least impressive of the talent of the, what do you call it, enhancement talent on this show.
Because
I like most of the enhancement talent on this show. I even liked Alan, but like, I was just like, he's the one that you're going to go 60-40 with? Okay.
I did like,
he did have some cool moves though. He had some cool moves.
I did enjoy on commentary. They were like, so what does Alan Angels get out of this? And Jericho's like, well, he can get, you know, he just hit a move on Kenny Omega. He can put that in his highlight reel and get some bookings.
Actually, I really did like that. I like that they mentioned, like, what do these guys get out of facing these guys that are clearly going to kick their ass? Well, they're going to get some exposure. I think that's actually a cool justification for why these people are having these matches. I actually wanted to mention something in the Matt Hardy promo that I forgot. Matt Hardy was going through all of the Elite members and why he's, like, siding with the Elite, and he didn't mention Hangman.
Ooh. Dissension in the ranks.
So, he said, oh, the Bucks are his best friends in wrestling. Cody is a good friend. He respects the hell out of Kenny Omega, and he didn't mention Hangman.
Or who maybe
was also meant to be in Blood and Guts with him. So
maybe that's just Matt Hardy respecting Hangman's wishes to not be included in the Elite. He's the only one that respects Hangman Page.
Hangman's gonna buckshot the hell out of Matt Hardy in Blood and Guts.
But that would be a heel turn. I wouldn't like that.
But he hasn't been on TV in 25 years, so it's fine.
That's true. Yeah, Kenny.
We got a cool little promo package too.
Yeah, Kenny beat the nerd. Eventually. we got a good feature on Scorpio Sky where he recapped how, you know, he tried and tried and tried and couldn't make it. And he had tryouts places and he had matches places in Ring of Honor in TNA, and he didn't mention those companies specifically, but those are the places where he did have matches and he never got signed, and he was like, I'll give this wrestling stuff one more go, and then SCU was formed, and that was the end. This is the best part of the fact that they're having to produce these shows in quarantined empty arena environments is these features that should always have been on the show, and I think everyone acknowledges should always been on the show. I think everyone expected well,
like,
day to
one,
be on the show.
Like, give us Road 2. We all wanted Road 2 segments.
Yeah, so now that they're actually finally putting their very good stuff, very good feature on Scorpio Sky, humanizing him, making him very relatable and very likable.
We got an actual Road 2 segment literally on this show as well, in the Dustin hype.
Mm. There was even a little bit for Sammy and Darby at the start of the show as well.
Oh, they each got one too, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Darby legitimately just dragging someone behind a quad bike.
As one does.
We got a little recap of BT200, so did you want to have a little talk about Matt versus Nick, because we've both seen it?
They should have just put that match on TV, let's be honest. So why not?
Well, the whole point of it was meant to be BT200, though.
Yeah, but it's, you know, still. Put it on TV next week.
That match was really fun. I liked that Malachi Jackson was the ref. Mm. they kind of did some crazy shit in that match.
Yeah, you see, there's a thing. Like, the Edge and Orton and Gargano, Ciampa, and all these matches are getting wrong about these kind of wild brawls. You have to do stuff. Like, you can't just, you know, do nothing. You can't just roll on the floor for a while and have, like, two or three. Like these guys, the Canadian Destroyers into pools, Tornado DDTs off of fences, Swantons off of sheds. Like, they went up to a deck and tried to throw each other off. It's like, they went full, like, wacky backyard match. And that's what you need from this stuff. Otherwise, it's just boring.
Well, I was saying before, like, they didn't go pretentious. They went fun with it. Mm-hmm. And I much more appreciate, let's just have fun, and it's dumb stuff, and we acknowledge that it's dumb. We'll do a dumb little Rocker's Turn segment.
To mock the Firefly Funhouse, yes.
And Matt will get the spiked boot that he killed Candace with. Like, good little throwbacks, like that kind of stuff. It was just way more fun than these, like... I'll take watching this over Ciampa and Gargano every time, just because, like, one makes me go hee-hee-hee-hee and just have a good time, while the other one's like, okay, it's a slog to get through.
You see, they were both melodrama, whereas, like, the Bucks went for melodrama that's meant to be laughed at. It's like, you tried to kill your own brother?
Multiple times.
As they do freaking the rolling Northern Lights suplex on their freaking back garden. While Gargano and Ciampa is, like, doing the hand pull away thing, and, oh, very dramatic. But so that's meant to be serious. It's like, you ruined my family! It's like,
I did like, Matt's wife putting down the screen so the kids can't watch them fight.
Yeah, see, just make these things fun. Make them fun and novel and wacky and stupid. Don't make them serious and gritty and long. And long is the big thing.
That these segments are always going to be way better for me when they're just fun and they're not super serious.
Again, the final deletion had moments of melancholy, like Matt Hardy set his brother on fire. That happened. Mm. But for the most part, it was guys shouting catchphrases, jumping out of trees, and shooting fireworks at each other. That's what you want from this stuff.
Yeah. Let's go to another match that I also liked, that I was going in, I was like, ugh. But, like, you know what? I dug it. Orange Cassidy's great.
I was closer to... I was like, all right. It was a match. It was one of those matches where I'm just like, that wasn't bad, but also, meh.
It just reminds me, like, how great of a fiery babyface Orange Cassidy is, which is, like, to anyone who knows, isn't, like, this, you know, grandiose statement or anything, but, like, he's so good in that role.
He's a tremendous pro wrestler, and obviously you forget he's a tremendous pro wrestler because he's a character that's meant to not be a tremendous pro wrestler, but then when he becomes a tremendous pro wrestler, he's a tremendous pro wrestler.
I think it's also really cool to see how he changed his character from the indies to when it was a TV promotion. Because he doesn't do the same match that he used to do on the indies. Like, this is a different Orange Cassidy.
Well, also, he couldn't do his regular match here because there's no audience. You can't do, the super kicks in front of nobody, you know?
I meant, like, also with, like, Park and stuff. Like, he's not just doing the same shtick that he would do all over the indies. Like, he made a conscious effort to change stuff to fit TV. And to fit an audience that's going to see him more than once.
I did find it a weird choice to do an Orange Cassidy singles match in an empty arena environment, but it was a decent match. It's not where I would have done his first televised singles match, you know?
And Orange won.
Actually, legitimately, if Orange lost, I would have been like, that's stupid. But he won, so I'm fine.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then there was like a weird Penelope Kip Sabian thing, which I was like, that was kind of odd, and I don't think it really came across that well. But like, I get what they were doing. They're setting up for Kip and Havoc versus Best Friends, so whatever.
The weirdest thing is that they basically set up that match on this show before Kip Sabian lost to Dustin Rhodes. They didn't announce the match until Kip Sabian lost, but you're like, I didn't think Kip Sabian was winning that match in the first place. I less so thought he was winning that match when you're already pivoting him into another program before he's even lost to Dustin Rhodes.
I also think it kind of makes him look like a dumb idiot for, like, what if he got hurt doing that and then later on he couldn't have his tournament match for a title? Like, that just made... I was like, come on, Kip, why would you do that? Like, I didn't mind Penelope helping, but I was like, Kip, dumb idiot, what if you get hurt?
You have a big main event that's coming up in, like, 20 minutes.
What if you, like, did your dive and twisted your ankle?
Yeah, it was a strange one. As I said, not a soul believed that Kip Sabian was beating Dustin Rhodes, but even fewer souls somehow believed that Kip Sabian... Dead souls, I guess.
Negative souls.
Dark souls believed. I don't know.
Demon souls.
Speaking of demons, MJF. Solid segue.
All right. Sick. Got him.
He was in his rat's house. A very fancy looking house, I will say. Very high class rats.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's on those like Hollywood dating apps where like it's only celebrities.
Yeah.
MJF's great. Like, I think I needed a bit of time away from him, because now I appreciated him when he came back. But like, it really seems like he should have been doing something every couple weeks, like because he's a pretty big deal in this company, and you just like had him leave for 6 weeks.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy you could just literally just give him a 90-second promo like this every week, and he'll be fine. Also, that's all he needs.
Give me a Hangman thing. Why has Hangman done nothing on this show?
He's just disappeared off the face of the earth. Hangman's been doing fun stuff on Twitter.
And doing fun stuff on BTE.
There you go. So all these people, just put a 90-second MJF show, a promo on the show every second week. And like,
do it for everyone who's like an upper mid-carder who should be on these shows but isn't. Give me a Park one. Give me a Hangman one. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about this next match, though.
The Wardlow, he defeated Lee Johnson. Again, Lee Johnson, very nice gear. Before we get into the Wardlow, I'm a big fan of Lee Johnson's gear. It looks better than most people's gear on the show.
I really like both of these guys. If Lee Johnson isn't signed, I hope he gets signed. Because I really like Wardlow, I really like Lee Johnson, and I really think both of them could be good future prospects.
Yeah, Lee Johnson took a hell of an ass kicking in this match. Wardlow looked like $1 million.
Yeah, seriously though, like, I give Lee Johnson a contract. Out of everyone, out of all the... So these are all QT Marshall students, apparently. So, like, out of all of his kids, give this one a contract, please.
Yes, he shows the most promise. Wardlow looked like a badass. He tossed him around, hit his gigantic F5 deal.
I love Wardlow, man.
I would caution Wardlow lovers that, like, he's very well protected, and he should be very well protected. There will be people who will watch this match and say, Wardlow's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I will be like, no, he's not.
And that's me. And that's my stance. The War Dog, Wardlow, it's Wardlow Day. This man, king, shit, put the TNT title on him. Fuck Lance Archer. Let's just go straight to Wardlow.
And there will be people who are like that, and I would be like, cool your jets. This is a guy who, in the right role, in the right protected environments... can be very useful.
Do
not build
that.
The company around him.
You know what?
Him.
Lee goddamn Johnson, put the fucking title on him right now.
That I can get more behind.
Yeah, but I like both of these guys. And like, them, Dobbs, Sammy, I think you've... like, obviously, they're not on the same level or anything. But like, these are your guys, I think. Start developing your next or even third generation of people.
Yeah, I think that's why I was like... so underwhelmed by that Mia Yim squash in NXT, because I watched this squash on AEW and I was like, oh, this is what squashes should look like. It's very enthusiastic.
I just liked that match a lot. Touch I might sass. Even go back and re-watch that match.
Well, it's only 3 minutes long, so that's it won't take you very long.
And I like this next segment as well.
The Dark Order are recruiting Bray Wyatt, it would appear. He had the whole world in his hands and he gave up.
He got the whole world.
But turns out Mr. Brody Lee is recruiting a college player. What was his name?
Vance Preston. He was the guy who faced Darby on Dark and had an impressive match.
So yes, he has been recruited as number 10 in the Dark Order.
Press 10,
indeed. Which is a missed opportunity now to put Sean Spears as number 10 in the Dark Order, but I guess I'll get over it.
So this, I assume this means that this guy is signed?
Well, are any of these people signed, or are they just, like, you know, around?
Well, I had heard that he killed it in the derby match, and people like that.
So. You don't watch Dark, Liam? I haven't watched any of MD Arena Dark. I stopped watching Dark, like, the week the MD Arena stuff hit. It's like, I can't watch Dark anymore. I can barely watch Dynamite. Never mind Dark.
But yeah, apparently him and Darby had a banger. So, I hope that he could be another one of those younger boys getting signed. I hope this means that next week we'll see number 10 in a match.
Mm. This is once again there was multiple WWE, as I said, I had the whole world in my hands, thing as a Bray Wyatt reference. The recruiting old footballers, or football players.
I kind of loved the first bit where he was getting cucked.
Poor guy.
But, like, that bit was actually kind of funny.
He lost his football career.
Hey, you're still talking to that loser, babe.
And then you're laughing at him. What does
that mean? It rolled.
Poor guy. Yeah. There we go. More with the Brody Lee. Yeah, Brody Lee squashed Justin Law, hit him with his big lariat.
Mm-hmm.
And Brody Lee will face Marcus Stunt next week, which, poor Marcus.
Will it be better than the Lance Archer match?
I don't think so, but we'll see.
He's just going to die. He's going to take a big boot and his head's going to fly off.
And then his big old discus lariat.
The bub. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah,
Best Friends and Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, the backstage promo with Best Friends where Chuck cut a promo being like, this is, you don't want to see Trent when he's, what's he say? Not mad.
You don't want to see him when he's quiet because he'll kill somebody.
And like, Trent is like, this is me when I'm real mad.
Then Trent was like, I'm legitimately very upset right now.
Yes.
Like, deadpan. And Chuck had a chain.
Oh, yeah, and Chuck didn't just have a chain. He put a chain over his neck in, like, the first 30 seconds. Like, all right, this is serious business. It's chain time.
And then they all got lost on the way out of the gym.
Yes, they will face Havoc and Sabian next week. That match wasn't announced until the end of the show, until after Sabian got knocked out of the thing. TK works fast, by the way. He's just like, oh, book the match.
Yeah, he's like, come quick. Trent and Chuck are, like, sneakily, like, underrated plunder match wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, actually super excited for this match, because I think Chuck is really good with plunder, and I think Trent is, like, just a notch below, but also really good, so I'm really excited for that.
Hopefully they don't just brawl endlessly.
I hope they do some cool power drivers onto things. They're definitely going to use thumbtacks. That's my lock of the week.
Yeah. Next week we have Marcus Sunday against Brody Lee, Cody against Darby Allin, Lance Archer against the winner of Kip Sabian and Dusty Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes, jeez, and Kip Sabian and goddammit, announcing the other match ruins it. Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc against Best Friends, which brings us to the main event between Dustin Rhodes and Kip Sabian. The freaking career ending stip here was stupid. I get why they did it. Like, give this match some stakes. But, like,
I hope desperately that Dustin does it next week and he's like, you know what? If I lose against Lance Archer.
But, like, if there was a person on this earth that thought Dustin Rhodes was going to retire in QT Marshall's gym against Kip Sabian, it's just like, what do you do? Why are you wasting that stipulation on a match like this? Where, like, not a person on earth is going to believe he's going to lose.
Well, they did it, I think, because they wanted to make a Kip Sabian TV main event be a little more interesting. But the problem is, why couldn't you have just done Sammy and Darby in the main event and had this be the opener?
Yeah, and I'm like, what they did actually made the match less interesting, because without that stipulation, I'd fully believe Kip Sabian could be Dustin Rhodes, you know? That's not a stretch for me to think that, oh yeah, that's
I mean,
a first.
I always thought Dustin was going through, because I thought Lance was going to kill Dustin on the way to Cody.
But still, like, it's not like, the belief I had in Kip Sabian winning went down with the stipulation.
It went from 5% to 0%.
Yeah, it's just like, he's not winning. And why would you give me a stipulation that makes the result of the match more definitive, more clear going into it? It's a strain. And the match was, I don't want to ever watch Kip Sabian wrestle again. Kip, you're perfectly fine, but
I don't mind Kip, but I don't think he does a lot for me in this, like, kind of setting.
Oh, we skipped over the Bubbly Bunch.
Yeah, well, it wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
Actually, no, we got the TikTok meme, though.
It's still not great. That's worse. It's important to know...
Flim flam.
That Jake Hager was allowed back into his home.
Yes. And that flim flam is in no way associated with TikTok.
It's not. Please don't sue us.
I did like how pissed off Jericho was that Sammy actually tried.
And Sammy is very good.
You're always showing off.
I'd love if that's like the long-term foreshadowing of the breakup of the Inner Circle, where Jericho starts to get jealous of how, like, how much attention and how talented Sammy gets.
Hager was actually really good in this too. Like, oh, Sammy, you're way too attractive to be sad.
It's very true. Dustin
won with the code red.
It's very annoying. Like, Code Red's not like some nerd from 50 years ago's move. It's like one of the more famous moves of the last like 20 years. Though Petey Williams will be very happy that somebody actually won a match with a Canadian Destroyer.
How weird is it that Dustin Rhodes is using the Canadian Destroyer as like a regular TV move?
As his actual finish as well, not the final cut or any of that stuff. It's like, Canadian
Destroyer. Well, he still uses the final cut as his main finish. I think this is like Kenny winning with the V-trigger.
I like the way, the Canadian Destroyer is his lesser move here.
Yeah. His spinny suplex deal is his big move still.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's Dynamite. I didn't love either of these shows this week. I was just like, all right, they're fine.
I thought both were pretty, like, good, but, like, neither were great.
So, which did you prefer?
Well, we're going to have to do our match of the night first, Garrett. Surely, 55 episodes in, you would learn the fucking structure.
I would probably go with Sammy and Darby.
I'm going to go with the War Dog Wardlow. Versus the guy whose name I forgot. Lee Johnson.
Lee Johnson, indeed. And his very nice gear.
But my show of the day, I'm going to go with NXT.
I'm going to look at the polls so I can be the deciding vote, because AEW is the winner of the poll, 70-30, 109 votes.
Howard's the bunch of them.
This is one of those weeks where I don't know, so I'm going to have to sit here and think. AEW didn't have the very terrible Roderick Strong thing. Drake Maverick, not Roderick Strong. I liked one match
but
here.
But remember, AEW did have the War Dog.
He did have the War Dog. God, this is.
I don't know why I'm selling AEW when I voted for NXT, but
the show you didn't want. The Garganos was better than the Bubbly Bunch. AEW had better squashes. AEW had the best man. I'll go AEW by the slimmest of margins. It's AEW, but I didn't particularly like either show.
Boo.
NXT, I don't think NXT has ever had a 2-week win streak, so it will continue not to have a 2-week win streak.
Yeah, well, we'll get them next week, boys.
You can vote in the poll by following us on Twitter at WarGamesPod. You can follow me on Twitter at Garrett. You can follow Liam on Twitter because he's not a coward anymore.
You can't.
At Larrikin.
I'm going to lock it again. Don't follow me. I'm just going to lock it again. I only unlocked it so I could reply to a tweet and have it be seen.
Oh, you poor thing.
Just a quick update, TW20's beta has not released in the time that we have been recording. I'll do one last refresh for good measure. It's taken a while to refresh.
The poll went from 70-30 to 69-31, so for the sake of clarity.
Oh god, Garrett, it's not loading. Feel for time.
What if it's actually out? What will you do? This is the podcast again, the revival Fink, but then you get TEW coming out right at the end of the podcast and you'd be very excited.
It hasn't come out.
Boo.
Quick, let's check Twitter to see if any breaking news is
let's see, we have the poll results. I have 53 notifications from tweeting about how Spot is bad.
Insane Clown Posse has cancelled the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, it's Moose's birthday. Oh, this is good news. You know the way that the European Championships were meant to be this summer, Liam?
Yes.
The European Championships, which will be held next summer in 2021, will still be called UEFA Euro 2020.
Ah.
So there you go.
I am Kylie Rae. It was all smiles as she took in Hogan Knows Best 3. In Knockouts Warfare.
There we go. There's some Impact stuff for you if you'd like to watch this week's. No, there's no news. If you'd like more AEW coverage in your feed, you can listen to Everything Elite every Thursday night. If you'd like more television show coverage and WWE coverage in your feed, you can listen to Shake Them Ropes. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Adam Ryland, contact me. I will shill. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.